Okay, today we're going to discuss Lech Mishnah again, but this time we're going to talk about some of the practical elements in terms of how do you do it, meaning some guys are talking about dating and getting married, so okay, your first Shabbos, now you have to do Lech Mishnah. How do you deal with it? What exactly does one do with Lech Mishnah? Before we get to that, though, one more prat that we didn't mention yesterday. Mizonos, when you're at a kiddush and there's a cake platter, is there any inyan whatsoever in making a Lech Mishnah out of two pieces of cake or out of two rugelach or something like that? Is there any inyan whatsoever? There happens to be a long tshuva in the Kleisenberger and the Divrei Yatziv and Archaim some Kuf Chav Zayin about this. The Ramah in Reish Sadi Aleph Siv Dalet says that ideally you should have Lech Mishnah for as many meals as you eat on Shabbos. So even if you happen to have four meals on Shabbos or five meals on Shabbos, I don't know why you would do that, but if you happen to like to eat a lot, or you're on some sort of special diet with a lot of very tiny meals or something like that, you would still have to have Lech Mishnah by each meal. And the kids Shulchan Aruch thought that therefore, if you're going to call something a su'uda legabe kiddush b'makom su'uda, so you're going to, how can you say kiddush and shul when there's only mizonos? Because you say that the mizonos is enough of a su'uda for kiddush b'makom su'uda. So mela, you're going to say that it's enough of a su'uda for lecha mishnah as well. And every su'uda requires lecha mishnah, so you should, or at least lecha chila should have lecha mishnah. So what if the mizonos constitutes a su'uda, make a lecha mishnah out of that. However, most assume that that's not correct. It certainly doesn't seem to be the practice. The Minchas Yitzchak and Chel Gimel Simin Yud Gimel says that if you're going to be kovei a su'uda on it to the point that it would require birchas hamazon, then you should use lecha mishnah but on the mizonos. But if you are, and many of the challahs probably that women make nowadays are probably mizonos, but we're kovei a su'uda on it to the point that anyway. We could make hamotzi and then you'd do a lecha mishnah. If you want to be machmir, you can anyway rely on the Meshav Davar, probably the Minchas Yitzchak writes. The Meshav Davar, the Netziv, and Simon Chav Aleph has a tremendous chiddush where he thinks the definition of two loaves of bread is based on how it's presented to you, not based on whether it was always a single loaf. Meaning, if you only have one challah at home, the Meshav Davar writes, you have a simple etzah, how to do lecha mishnah. Have your wife in the kitchen cut that challah in half and present it to you, bring it to the table as two halves. Now you have two loaves of bread. Now it's lecha mishnah because it was brought to you as two. They're not shleimim. They're not shleimim, but shalem is not an absolute requirement, meikar din. It's the most appropriate and the best way to do it, but it's not an absolute requirement. It's not an isur chamor not to do. But that way you'll be able to fulfill lecha mishnah. So as Minchas Yitzchak says, if there's a sliced cake platter, so anyway you have lecha mishnah because there are multiple pieces of cake. They're already presented as a sliced cake platter. Okay, I heard it in a shir, Rabbi Radinsky said that he was hacking Rishon Zalman about this once because he had heard that Rishon Zalman was makbid about this. And Rishon Zalman was very dismissive of it. He was trying to say, no, you shouldn't be makbid about this, shouldn't be makbid, even though it could be that personally he was makbid about it, but not every chumrah that someone like Rishon Zalman keeps is something that, you know, regular people are supposed to keep as well. If you only have one loaf of bread, let's say you only have one challah, so then it's good to know this, because it's probably better to use Pasah B'Kislin as a second loaf, rather than to rely on the Netziv and cut your loaf of challah in half. Right? If you can't find the second challah, so get a ruglah. Take a Pasah B'Kislin, something else, that will be the second loaf. Okay, but in terms of the procedure of Lech Mishnah, so a number of points. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Ayin Dalet Sifalv says to hold both challahs when you say the bracha, and then you cut the bottom challah. That's what Shulchan Aruch writes. The Ramah says, yes, that's true for nighttime, but at daytime or on Yantif, both day and night, you're botseya elyona. You cut the top challah. Why? Al pi Kabbalah. I don't know the reasons. He says it's all al pi Kabbalah. So Friday night, Shulchan Aruch says, bottom challah. Shabbos day, the Ramah says, and all Yantif meals, the top challah. The Bach wonders how it's possible that you're allowed to cut the bottom one in light of the klal of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvah. So you're not allowed to pass up one thing for the next one. So the top one, Lechor, is the one that's closest to you. So how are you allowed to bypass it in order to cut the bottom one? So the Taz writes, a simple Eitzah, that you should have one on top of the other, but the bottom one should be a little closer to you. So, it should be positioned a little closer to where you are, or to where your knife is, where you're going to be cutting, and that way it won't be a violation of Ein Ma'avir Nal Mitzvah. All that's according to the Mishnah Berurah. Kav Chaim Reisha and Dalid Sif Yud Beis says to keep holding both loaves even when you're breaking one of them, even when you first break one of them. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav and Chazon Avadia in Chelik Beis, page Kovayin, are both makel to put one down. So that's one point in terms of which challah to cut. Point number two, the Mishnah Berurah in Reisha and Dalid Sif Katnei Kosel Magen Avram, to slice a bit before you say the bracha, that make a little reshima in the challah with the knife before you recite the bracha. This is based on halach and ilchus brachas, that when a person says a bracha, he should have the food as close to ready to be eaten as possible while still saying the bracha on the shalim. So if it's during a weekday, you would slice more than a little bit. You would cut it halfway down and then say the bracha so that it could be very easy to just cut the rest in the quickest way possible. Based on that, the Tzlach Mesachas Brachas Tavlamates does not think this minhag makes any sense. Just make a little reshima. I mean, why don't we cut it all the way down? Because we don't want to destroy the shlemus of the Lecha Mishnah. But at the same time, if you're just making a little reshima, it's not going to aid in quicker cutting afterwards at all. It's just like a zecha to davar or something, a zecha to the halacha. So the Tzlach and the Yehuda disagrees. Even though the Mishnah Berurah says to do it, so that's why you see some people do it, some people don't. Third point, the Ramban Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Yudalin and the Mishnah Berurah Reish Ayin Dalin Sif Kan Beis say to say Birshus before saying the bracha. The logic is that you want everybody to know you're being motzi them with your bracha. So the lashon that they quote is Birshus Rabosai. So even if you're the balabayas and there is no rabosai, it's just your wife and kids, it's a respectful way of speaking. Even if you are the gadolabayas, it's a, why do you speak in a respectful way? Derech hanava. So you say it derech hanava. Nevertheless, the Gra disagrees with this. In Maisa Rav, Osayim Ches, he says that's a hefzik. How can you be mafsik to say Bereshus Rabosai between the Tilsi Dayim and the Bracha of Hamotzi? It's an unnecessary hefzik. The Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Samach Zayin, Sif Tes Zayin, says that you shouldn't start slicing the bread until everybody finishes their amen, because the amen is also part of the Bracha. So he says, wait for the amen. However, the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Pehei and Sif Kuf Samach Zayin says, unless people are being ridiculous about their amens, if they're having these elongated amens, you know, where they're doing with chazanas or whatever, so you don't have to wait for them. You could just, but a normal amen, you should wait before you start cutting. Wait for the amen. A fourth point, the Ramban Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Hei says to dip the challah in salt, and that's based on Shulchan Domel Mizbeach. Pasuk in Vayikra says that al kol karban chatakrav melech, that you bring melech, you bring salt with every karban, and therefore there should be salt. You should dip the challah in salt based on the Shulchan Domel Lemizbeach idea that the Mizbeach always had salt. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Aaron Silver from Karen B'Avon told me that his grandfather, Rav Lazer Silver, Zichron Levracha, had a minhag that he would not use salt on Friday night, because there's no karbanos being brought on the Mizbeach on Friday night. It's just the continual burning of whatever was left over from the daytime, and therefore that there is a viable, strong minhag not to use salt on Friday night. Most people, though, do not have that minhag. Most people, I think, do use salt even on Friday night. A fifth thing to be aware of, Shulchan Aruch and Reish Ayin Dalet Sif Gimel says that nobody should eat until the Botseya eats. It's based on the Gemara and Brachos, and the idea, the thing to be aware of over here is a lot of times you feel like the pressure to get it cut quickly, and you feel selfish if you're going to take a bite and everyone else is waiting for you to cut everything before they get their piece. So you want to be kind and nice and gracious. So you cut all the, a lot of people will cut all the challahs and start handing it out before they take their bite. Well, that's being machshil, because you're not supposed to, the people aren't supposed to eat, the mevarich is supposed to be ochel tchila. The mevarich is supposed to eat first. So you want to cut a little piece and also create as little hafzik as possible, take a little bite, and then cut the rest. People will wait another half a second that it takes. It's not bad midos to do that. A sixth thing to be aware of, the Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Yud Ches says you're not supposed to pass the challah by hand unless you're an avel, because apparently it's derech avelus to pass it by hand. So this is not, a lot of people think that this is some sort of baba maisa, some old wives tale about not passing it by hand. This is in the Shulchan Aruch, that one should not pass the challah hand to hand. It should be put on a plate and you pass the plate around. Mishmur and Sivkat and Peites. And that's always, it's on Shabbos weekday, always, not just it's not just a din in Shabbos. Many of these dinim, you know, appear in Simen Kuf Samach Zayin. Kuf Samach Zayin is not Hilchos Shabbos. It's just a din in Betzias HaPas. There are dinim of Betzias HaPas that have nothing to do with Shabbos. It's just that our practice is we only do a proper Betzias HaPas for the most part on Shabbos and Yantiv. But this din is not a Shabbos din. Mishnah Berurah, Sivkan Peites actually writes in Kof Samach Zayin that on Shabbos, an Avel wouldn't even give by hand. Wouldn't even pass hand to hand. Normally, it's derech avelus, so you pass hand. So on Shabbos, novel would do because avelus befarhesia. You're not allowed to do avelus befarhesia on Shabbos. And one final point, point number seven, I guess. One, the Mishnah Berurah in Simchov Samach Zayin Sivkan Peches says one should not throw the challah either because it's a bizayon apas or it's a bizayon mitzvah, that this is the prusas hamotzi, and people therefore sometimes throw the challah across the table. That is not the proper thing to do. The best thing to do is in a dignified manner. A person cuts the challah, puts it on a platter, passes the platter around the table, and everyone will take their piece. So you're not passing it yad to yad, and you're not throwing the challah from one end to the other. So that's how you do Lechem Mishnah. So now you're all ready to get married. Okay.